You're locked into the Despirito Team Real Estate Show with host and top realtor Emilio Despirito on News Radio 920 and 104.7 FM. We're talking with industry leaders about real estate trends, money-making tips, and advice on buying and selling the American dream. Now, here's Emilio Despirito.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. I'm Emilio Despirito, and this is your show all about real estate each and every single week. Make sure to like us on Facebook to stay up with the latest information here in the Southern New England area on real estate. So each week we've got on some really amazing guests, and we've got a fantastic guest this week, Melissa Delano with Delano Law. Welcome to the show, Melissa.
Thanks for having me. Good morning to all of our listeners. It's great to be back.
Good morning. With nearly a couple decades worth of experience in real estate law specifically, and covering titles and, you know, working on the ins and outs of getting people to the closing table, Melissa is a fantastic guest. And we wanted to talk today specifically about understanding your assets and your title and the title on your home before selling. Melissa, the floor is yours, all yours.
Thank you. Wow. So Emilio, I always like to talk about things that are kind of real-time examples of client situations. And I have two in the past month. And this is exactly the problem, is that I think generally speaking, clients just assume they understand how they own the title of their property without actually investigating it, which means looking at the old vesting deed or reviewing it, more importantly, with your attorney about how exactly do I own this property? How should I be selling and marketing it? So the first issue was that I had a client who was elderly in nature, very ill, and his daughter thought, well, I'm going to sign everything as power of attorney, which comes with an entire host of issues that need to be developed. So we developed all of those, only to find out that her father actually had retitled the property into a trust, and she was the trustee, which completely shifts the way in which the transaction needs to be framed, the way it should have been disclosed, the way that the sales agreements were signed. Now, of course, all of this was already way past that point. I was contacted, you know, 2-3 weeks in advance of the closing. Hey, can you represent us? I'm holding power of attorney. What's involved? So I didn't have a title. I didn't have a deed. I wasn't asked to look at it because, you know, I took this call real quick and just started guiding them on what they needed, only to find out that what we thought they needed wasn't at all appropriate or pertinent because the trust was actually the owner. And trust can be really particularly challenging because a lot of folks will put title, change their title assets into a trust and never really remember they did it. Mm-hmm. And then it's a matter of how do I go about getting the trust documents? Where are those? I don't even remember doing this. So making sure you've got that benefit of planning is really, really useful. You don't want to find out as a seller or a listing agent for that matter, or you know, the week before it's wrong, right? Or a buyer.
Yeah. So I want to interject real quick, Melissa. I see this happen all of the time. So when we're meeting with clients, we ask them, you know, like, you know, have you taken title? Who's like, what exactly is going on here? What's the ins and outs? Because we've had it happen so many times, like what you just said, it gets close to the closing and sometimes a week or two before closing, and then they realize and it pushes it out sometimes 2, 3, 4 weeks. It's crazy.
And Emilio, a lot of, you know, listing agents will undertake to look at the land evidence records or the tax title cards and just see who's the owner and maybe even look at the deed. But honestly, you as agents are not real estate attorneys to be able to read these deeds. So if the tenancy is referenced, but you don't really know what it means, well, that could create a situation, which is actually the problem on this other matter that I have. My client owns the property in Rhode Island, and unbeknownst to me, because I had never represented her on that property before, she owned it with a husband who is since predeceased. And it turns out that the tenancy that they had on the deed was tenants in common, which means that his ownership interest needs to now run through probate. We found out on Friday, this Friday that just happened. We were supposed to close the following Thursday. Obviously, that's going to be delayed, not necessarily weeks, probably 1 to 2 months, depending on how quickly the probate court can hear the matter. So it's really a challenge when those types of things are not properly developed at the time of taking the listing or in preparation for the sale. And that's that's the struggle that we see so often, is if just a small exercise of looking at the deed would have revealed that we need to get the probate done before we can list the property.
Wow. So, Melissa, this is so, I also write for rinewstoday.com, right? And as you're talking, I'm like, wow, this stuff happens so often to people, right? And I'm like, I just thought of a great blog, Trip Ups That Can Happen Before Closing. I'm going to rename that, but I'm definitely going to ask you some questions on there. Melissa, this is
absolutely
invaluable information, because what happens here is it becomes costly. Mm-hmm. And there's some cases where somebody has to sell because they can no longer afford the home, number one, or number two. Now they have to go through the costly probate process, and also they may lose their buyer. And in this market, that could cost them money too, because when you have a house on the market, it comes off the market. People are like, what's wrong with the house? It just gets a stigma. The buyer may lose their rate lock. They may have a higher rate and can't afford the home, or they may ask the seller to pay the rate down. There are thousands and thousands of dollars at play here.
And so many considerations. I mean, the carrying cost that the homeowner now has to absorb to continue allowing that mortgage to stay afloat. We just had one recently where the client was actually in a default situation with an active foreclosure, which isn't something that we had been dealing with in the last year because of COVID, but is now starting to come back into play. We're also starting to see mortgages where folks may have done a modification or a deferral because of COVID, so they were able to get a partial claim. Well, those come back to roost, and those have to be paid. I've had many of those where now there's a second mortgage. Clients are like, what second mortgage? I don't know anything about this. So it's really, really important as a listing agent to make sure that you're properly developing an understanding of who is your client and what does the title reflect and what do they owe? And that's a conversation which hopefully is going to be forthcoming from your clients, maybe asking them, have you ever had any modifications pursuant to COVID? Did you miss any mortgage payments that you could be in an active foreclosure? Especially for folks that aren't sophisticated in these matters, we really are the people that need to guide them through the process. And it's hard because sometimes people are moving so fast and you ask one question and you get an answer and you just move on to the next question. This is an area where you really need to kind of stop and develop it a little bit better, because otherwise it's going to create for a bumpier transaction.
You are so good. You are so damn good at this. Like, I love it. I'm just sitting here and like, and just when you think there's really not much more you can do to service your clients, I'm over here taking notes. And this is the beauty of it all, right?
We're always learning, Emilio. That's the truth.
You know, and it's and this industry, like, you know, several others, is going through massive changes. It always is. But anytime there is like national or global events, it affects laws, regulations, it affects, you know, funding, it affects absolutely everything. And this is literally just the tip of the iceberg.
Oh, for sure.
You know, and one of the things too, Melissa, like while we're on the subject of people, you know, now being, you know, with the forbearance and with everything else and how there was no foreclosures, I think we're going to see a slight uptick in foreclosures. And I think what we're going to start to see, and nothing crazy, but I think what we're going to start to see is folks that realize that they bit off more than they could chew because they were approved for mortgages of such a high amount. They bought these properties, right? And they didn't realize that, oh my God, it costs X amount to heat this home, X amount to electrify the home, X amount to maintain the home. And all these things, I'm already seeing it happen with clients that have been in homes even 2 or 3 years and they want to downsize.
Yeah.
Already.
And, you know, there's also a good point that you raise. When you're taking on a listing, oftentimes we're asking our clients, well, what makes you want to move, right? Yeah. Asking them more specifically spending time when there's been any major life changes, a death, a divorce, a marriage, a job loss, a relocation. That's the place where we really need to stop and develop these fact patterns even more, because there's more of a probability if they've had a job loss, they may be facing a financial distress or have had a forbearance or something of the like. If there's been a death, there may need to be a probate or an inheritance tax lien release filed. So those are the kinds of things, even a marriage, you know, maybe the marriage perpetuated adding a spouse to the title that you're dealing with the wife who's you know, it's her condo, but now that they're married, maybe she added the husband and you need to get his name on all of your listing paperwork and the sales agreements and his cooperation. So it's really important that you're examining just kind of those baseline details of what's happening in their lives to determine how to move forward with their transactions.
Yeah, very, very, very well said. And a lot of those questions that you asked, I think are going to be very helpful, not only to the real estate advisors and agents that we have listening to this show, but also, you know, the public, anybody who's considering selling their home and, you know, and maybe relocating and or buying. So I remind our guests and our listeners, you have a network full of professionals here, right? Regardless if you're going to use us or not, I mean, we hope you do. You can call us. There's no obligation here. It's 401-217-2333. And I'd be happy to connect you with Melissa Delano, or you can contact Delano Law Direct by Google. They've got a beautiful new website, I believe, on Google.
We Delano do. Law.
And I love the new logo, Melissa. It's fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
Very well done. Or you can contact them. They got the easiest phone number to remember. You ready? 885-3800. If I can remember it, you can too. 885-3800. Go ahead and call Delano Law for all of your real estate, legal needs, title, closing, all of that. She's the best of the best. Melissa, thanks so much
Thank
for being
you.
Here.
Appreciate Thank you for having me. It was fun. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. You enjoy the rest of your weekend, and we'll see you next time. Stay tuned. We're going to be right back here on News Radio 920, 104.7 FM, streaming iHeartRadio, WHJJ. This is the Despirito Team Real Estate Show, powered by Delano Law.
This segment is brought to you by Matt Bates for Movement Mortgage, NMLS number 844154. Movement Mortgage supports equal housing opportunity, NMLS number 39179, NMLSConsumerAccess.org.
Now back to the Despirito Team Real Estate Show on News Radio 920 and 104.7 FM. Also available as a podcast on iHeartRadio.
All righty, welcome back to the show. I'm Emilio Despirito, a very nasally Emilio Despirito. It's not COVID, it's a cold, but I'm still here. I chugged down some Dayquil. I'm doing my best, but I got to give a special shout out to Matt Bates of Movement Mortgage. And if you haven't heard this show before, it's all about real estate. And Matt Bates is one of the best loan originators in Southern New England. Let me tell you something. This guy is one of the busiest guys I know. Last week, I called him an hour before my show. I was at an event for Engel & Volkers, and that's our real estate company. And I was in Georgia and I said, Matt, oh my gosh, man, I don't know why I've been doing this for 7-8 years. I completely forgot that the show is happening in an hour. Can you take the mic? And Matt said, not a problem, brother. I got you. So Matt Bates, man, I don't know what I'd do without you, buddy. I appreciate you very much, man, taking the reins last week.
No problem. It was fun. We had a good time.
Yeah, man. Good. I really appreciate that. So we have a special guest coming in, flying in from corporate. Actually, I'm sorry. He's calling in from corporate. He wanted to come fly in. Sam Chasnow. And Sam is out of your corporate's out of what? North Carolina?
Yeah, North Carolina. That's that where the headquarters is.
And Sam is probably one of the most important guys at Movement Mortgage, which is the number two or one or three, I don't know, one of the largest loan originators in the country for home loans. And what is Sam's position and what is Sam going to be talking with our listeners about?
He runs our whole condo division. So condominiums are huge in their up and coming because they maximize housing for urban areas, and they can convert a lot of old mill buildings and new buildings and commercial places downtown to condos. And people can either rent them or they buy them. You know, those condominium living is constantly getting more and more. So he runs our whole condo division for financing, which can be it could be a separate, it is a separate animal in itself rather than versus buying a single family or multifamily. Condos have specific financing requirements, and he's tasked with making sure that Movement Mortgage is the best option for people looking to purchase condos to get competitive financing and get the job done. So we have a whole process. When somebody says they want to get pre-approved and they call me and they, you know, we're looking at buying a condo. Great. It's a whole, we attack that type of cost, that type of loan as slightly different than a regular single family house or multifamily. Yep. And his task is to make sure that the condo department is running through these loans at the best of our ability. And he does an amazing job. I mean, we're writing like billions of dollars in condo financing over the year, and some mortgage companies don't even write that many loans total. Yeah. And that's just our condo department and our condo division. So he's very, very important to us. And a lot of times people come to us that were using other banks. The banks weren't able to do the financing because they can't understand the condo guidelines. They'll call me and say, hey, my bank can't close. I heard Movement Mortgage can get the job done. We get a hold of it. We find a way to get it done most of the time. There are some condos out there that just are not financeable, and it is what it is. But if anybody can close it, we're going to close it. And that's due to Sam's hard work.
So there's a couple things that Movement does, which I want to get into in a couple minutes as a listing agent, which I find super attractive and really well to work with. I'm going to get into that in a minute. But to go to what you just said, you said there's some condos, I believe they're called non-warrantable condos, right? Non-warrantable condos you can't really get financing on except for select sources. What makes a condominium a non-warrantable condo? I'm sure there's a slew of information, but just give me the top few things you see.
Yeah. One of the biggest ones that I see is investor saturation. So like, let's say you owned a massive construction company and you bought a mill building, which is really popular in New England, and you converted it over to condominiums and you retained more than 50% of each condo. So you were the owner, you sold off some, maybe some cash buyers or people that were able to find really, really specialized financing to be able to buy these things.
Yeah.
You know, they sold off to them, but let's say there was 100 units and you still owned 60 of them. There's a bigger than 50% investor saturation, meaning that there's one entity, one person that owns the majority of the condos, and the marketability is all in their hands. And the value of these condos is going to be dictated on how that one person maintains and manages the majority of the condominiums in there. So I very often see where condos are very hard to get financing with traditional financing because the investor that renovated the building to produce these condos still owns the majority of them.
Yeah.
So a lot of mortgage companies have a really hard time with that part of it. And because of our volume and our production with condos, Sam has direct access to Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and FHA to figure out how they're going to sign off on certain condominium complexes. Wow. And one of the popular ones in the area is like the 903. The 903 is a massive downtown. It's very nice. The condominiums are very well designed and attractive, and you know, they're really, you know, people are really excited to buy them in there. But the construction company and that produced and made all of these condos, they still own a lot of them in there. Mm-hmm. And one thing that Movement, you know, figured out is that if a buyer is buying a condominium from the investor and you're taking away from that saturation, Fannie and Freddie are okay with that part of it. Whereas if you, let's say I owned one privately and then you were the investor and they were coming up, a buyer was coming to buy it off of me and I'm not the majority stakeholder in the condominium complex, but there is this investor that does own all the rest of them, they don't like that. But if you buy a condo right from the investor, they'll sign off on that because you're taking away from that saturation. So it's like these very small interpreted guidelines that allow us to be a competitive lender. And if you were to go into the 903 and check them out, Movement Mortgage is marketed all over the place because we're a reliable lender for people that want to buy condominiums in there. So that's one example. A lot of other times they might not have their insurances, the master insurance policies correct, yeah. Or there's a discrepancy with the budget for reserves for the association. So the all condominium complexes are governed by a body called the homeowners association, the HOA, which is what yeah. you pay your fee for. Every condominium owner pays a fee to the HOA, and that money is deposited into a checking account that is managed by there's a secretary, a president, a vice president, or a property management company. They hire the landscapers, the trash removal, snow removal,
and maintenance, the water,
exterior, yeah, all of that. And when we go to do financing for a condo, we ask for the budget, a questionnaire, the reserves, the master insurance policy. These are all things. It doesn't matter how qualified the buyer is. You can have an 800 FICO score with 20% down and make $1 million a year and your debt to income ratio is really low. If the association isn't meeting up to the Fannie Freddie FHA guidelines, they're not, we can't write the loan. It's not, you can't, it's not that you can't buy, you can't get a mortgage. You just can't spend the money on that condo sometimes. So part of Movement's process and what Sam does really well is it's instead of before the appraisal, before the title work, before the, you know, basically when the ink is still wet on the purchase and sales agreement, get the association information. So that way we can sign off on the condominium financing before anybody spends any money or wastes any time. Quite often I really encourage the agents that I work with to, if they are going to list a property and they're going to sell a condo in a condominium complex, why don't you get Movement signed up as an approved lender for this condo complex? Even if I don't get to write the loan, at least the agent and my partner can get, sorry, the dog's barking. It can be a backup in case whoever buyer comes in to buy the house, their lender can't get the job done. The selling agent can still get their job done by introducing us to the buyer to get the financing out of the way.
Yeah.
So
that's one of the things that I wanted to say as a listing agent is a really powerful tool in my tool belt when I'm listing condos is as soon as I take a listing before it even goes live, I send it over to Matt and Sam Chasnow and their team over at Movement Mortgage, and corporate literally takes the bull by the horns and runs with it and says, hey, we're going to go ahead and make sure to scrub this condo association. We're going to make sure to go ahead and get this fully approved and ready to rock and roll if possible. And, you know, 10 out of 10 times so far, you guys have been success. Full. So,
we're establishing what the issue is going to be before it's the fourth quarter of yes. the deal. Yeah. You know, and that's really important. It's like, hey, Emilio, like, you know, you're going to be selling this condo, but just to give you a heads up, this is not going to go FHA. So don't accept any FHA offers, or, you know, this is going to have a tough time with Fannie and Freddie because of this part of it. There's something wrong with the budget. It gives you a lot of time to be able to figure out how to resolve the problem. So that way, when the offers come in, you're not, you know, it might be the highest and best offer you got, but if they can't close, they can't close. It's no good. So you want to be able to figure out whether or not you can close or not with standard financing. Therefore, when you accept an offer, you'll know you're accepting the right offer that can close.
Hmm. Some high level stuff, Matt. I appreciate it so much. And, you know, needless to say, when you're getting ready to sell or purchase a property, there are so many moving parts. And I understand how it may be enticing to think, you know, maybe we'll save a few percent by doing for sale by owner. But, you know, Melissa Delano with Delano Law, Matt, was on the last segment. And we were talking about title issues and how if title's taken wrong or if there's some issues that come up, how it could halt or stall a transaction and make a very costly event happen, right? In addition, if you don't have all of your ducks in a row and if you're not sure that your condo association can get the proper funding in time, that could also be costly. So there is so much aside from peace of mind why it's important to hire a professional to do anything. I hire a professional landscaper because guess what? I know I'm going to burn my grass. I'm going to cut it or do this or that. I don't have the time to be YouTubing that. I mean, if I was retired, different story, right? But as a working person right now, you know, working towards my retirement, I can't do it. I don't have the time to do it correctly. I don't have the knowledge. I don't have all that. So as little as it is, it's even like, I want to give this one last analogy, Matt. It's, I get this guy, he comes and washes our windows on Main Street in East Greenwich on our building. And I was just watching this guy work the other day and it was unbelievable. And then he's like, hey, come here, look at this. And he taught me like five things I've never known about window washing. Like literally. And I was like, oh my God, I didn't know there was so much to window washing. Right. So it's all the tricks of the trade. And these are all of the benefits when working with a professional. So the RIMortgageGuy.com is where you can find Matt Bates with Movement Mortgage. You can go ahead and ask him questions. Simply ask him questions. You can get your condo association approved and ready to rock and roll for financing. You can go ahead and reach out to Matt for a pre-approval or a, you know, to get a mortgage for your first home or your luxury home. You can also refinance your home. The RIMortgageGuy.com. Matt Bates with Movement Mortgage. Matt, stay on the line with us if you can. I want to talk with you a little bit more. Stay tuned, guys. We're going to be right back here on the Despirito Team Real Estate Show with Engel & Volkers, powered by Movement Mortgage.
This segment is brought to you by Matt Bates for Movement Mortgage, NMLS number 844154. Movement Mortgage supports equal housing opportunity, NMLS number 39179, NMLSconsumerAccess.org.
Now back to the Despirito Team Real Estate Show on News Radio 920 and 104.7 FM. Also available as a podcast on iHeartRadio.
Hey, hey, good morning. Welcome back to the show. If you're just tuning in, I'm Emilio Despirito, the host of the Despirito Team Real Estate Show. We've got on our co-host Matt Bates with Movement Mortgage. And literally right as our segment started, Matt said, oh no, I saw it in his face. An appraisal came in short, and we were going to talk about something else, but you know what? This is so timely, and this is happening all of the time. It really is, and we're selling homes, and a lot of times, not a lot of times, I'd say maybe 15% of the time, they're not appraising. So they're not appraising for the price that is on the purchase and sales agreement, which means that the bank will not lend up to that amount. So now it's back to the drawing board. Matt Bates with Movement Mortgage, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, not great news for me today. I wish I was, handle a little bit of better news today, but I'm going to have to handle this, and it does happen.
What do we do?
I always tell people that an appraisal value is an opinion of a value from an appraiser. It's not God writing the Ten Commandments. It's not Bible. It's one person's opinion. That person happens to be very important to the whole deal because banks lend off of the opinion of value of the licensed appraisers. The true person's opinion about the person that has the true opinion that matters is the buyer, because that's what they're willing to pay for it, or the market. You know, some buyers, there's multiple offers and they're all willing to pay an X amount of dollars. And you know, if you have multiple buyers all bidding for a house at the same price, and this appraiser comes in and says that this value is not, it's not worth what everybody wants to pay for it, well, does that really matter? Because many people that had the money to, you know, that qualify for the money to buy it and have the down payment set up, they all think that it's worth this much, and that's the market, you know. That so it's a touchy subject for me, because some people get excited about a low appraisal. Like a buyer's like, oh great, you know, I don't have to buy it for what that top dollar, I get, you know, I did an appraise. And I'm like, well, they don't have to sell it to you if you don't want to buy it. You know, that's so yeah, you got an appraisal for that's lower, but what happens if you walk away with no house because you went with what the appraiser said for the opinion of value?
Now you lost out all the money to get there, inspections, time.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I'm a strong believer in keeping the original agreement together as much as possible. You know, and in this circumstance, the buyer can either cover the difference in cash. If the seller's not going to lower the price, they can meet in the middle. Maybe they cover half the difference and they lower the price halfway. Like say it's a $30,000 discrepancy. You know, you're buying the house for $380,000 and the appraisal comes in at $350,000. You know, maybe the buyer brings an extra $15,000 and the seller drops it $15,000. The seller could drop it all the way to $350,000. That would be a very big blessing to the buyer. And they should be very thankful for something like that. All parties could walk away and go their different places and the buyer gets their deposit back, the seller sells the house to somebody else. That's obviously not the preferred way to do it. I mean, there's a reason why we're at the point of an appraisal is because we have a person that wants to sell and a person that wants to buy. So we kind of try to keep that deal together.
Yeah.
I don't think that anybody should do any concessions or pay any extra money out of pocket until the lender has the chance to do a rebuttal. So you can rebut the appraiser's opinion of value by submitting data from the market that was not already considered, like maybe additional comps or features of the property that weren't considered when they actually did the report. Or that mistakes do happen. People make mistakes. Appraisers make mistakes. Maybe they might have missed something. So we have an opportunity after the appraisal to send this missed data and missed information to the appraiser to have them reconsider the value and try to get them to understand why they were missed. They, you know, it's important that they count this information because it does hold some value to it. Now the appraiser can say, nope, we're not changing the value, or, oh, we apologize, we missed this information. We'll include it. And now this is our new value. Sometimes it gets us right back up to the 380 where we're supposed to be, or maybe they bump it 10,000 and now they're not talking about a $30,000 discrepancy. We're talking about a $20,000 discrepancy. I mean, it could all matter. So before anybody makes any, you know, decisions one way or another, the rebuttal process should go through. And then that way we try to have our best shot at keeping the original deal together. So that's what's going to happen here is I'm going to talk to both parties. We're going to review what's in the appraisal, see if anything's missing, see if we can add any additional data, do a rebuttal, try to get the appraiser to come up on the value, and then go from there and negotiate towards it. But like I said, everybody's got, you know, it's just an opinion of value. It's not the appraiser's not, you know, the Superior Court judge making a Superior Court decision. I mean, this isn't law. This is just someone's opinion, and it happened to be very important, but there's a conversation that needs to happen for sure. And sometimes it's not fun.
So here's another situation, right, where you don't want to go at it alone as a seller or as a buyer, because, all right, so let me break this down now from the real estate agent standpoint, right, and tell you how we avoid crappy appraisals, low appraisals, right? So when you're the listing agent and you have a buyer that comes in and, you know, the house sells for an amazing number, high price, your job is to get your seller the highest price. So what you should be doing, and what we do on the Despirito team, is we go ahead and make a full-blown, very detailed, almost like an appraisal market analysis that supports the price. And we go ahead and give that whole report with all of our comps and all of our data to the appraiser. Now, a lot of appraisers, depending on how you carry yourself and how you handle it, may or may not appreciate it. But I got to tell you, I had an appraiser call me one time before an appraisal and say, Amelia, I don't know where you're coming up with this price. Like how? So the appraiser called me and said, hey, Emilio, I don't know how this house is going to appraise like this, but I'm going there on X date and whatever, anything you can bring me. And I was like, oh, no worries. I know it's going to appraise. I'm confident. And at that time, I was like, oh man, yeah, I gotta work on this, right? Because I'm gonna be meeting this appraiser, right? But I did. I pulled comps, I supported the value, and I was able to get my clients of somewhere like $27,000 to $30,000 more on their home than what it probably would have appraised for had I not done the homework. Because here's the other thing too, Matt, is not all of the appraisers that go out have been in all of the homes, or they don't understand the exact situations of the homeowners who sold. If you can prove that a property was in a distressed situation, like they had to do a fire sale because they had to move for relocation, divorce, death, whatever it was, that holds a lot of weight. Because the motivation for that seller to underprice the home and sell it extremely quickly is a lot higher than a normal market situation. And you can go ahead and knock the pricing up for that. So there's a million other things that we can do to make sure that home's appraised. It doesn't always work, but I got to tell you, this is, again, one of those things that's the intrinsic value of having professionals on your side. So I'd like to thank again Matt Bates with Movement Mortgage, the RIMortgageGuy.com. Go ahead, check them out. Get your pre-approval there. Get your refinancing done there. Ask them any questions you like. Movement Mortgage can help you, and I believe close to all 50 states. Thanks again, Matt. Appreciate you being on here, sharing your expertise. And listen, we're going to be back in a few moments. I'm Emilio Despirito, and this is the Despirito Team Real Estate Show with Engel and Volkers, powered by Movement Mortgage.
Now back to the Despirito Team Real Estate Show on News Radio 920 and 104.7 FM. Also available as a podcast on iHeartRadio.
So you can see, oh, what's going on?
All right, each week we want to know what's going on. We want to know what's happening in Rhode Island. Where can we go? What can we do? And that's why we have Jennifer Jaber with RIBlogger.com here every week with us. Jennifer, welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
Our pleasure. Thank you for being here and keeping us so up to date. Probably about 300 plus shows in. What an amazing commitment. We appreciate you, Jennifer.
Well, I appreciate you guys. I'm like actually blown away because my first event is a holiday event. I don't even know how that happened.
Wow.
I feel like, yes, I know. It sounds awesome though. Friday, November 12th from 6 to 8:30 p.m. is the Bristol Christmas Snowball. And it's at Mount Hope Farm. Have you ever been there?
No, not yet.
Oh, it's beautiful. So just when I read it, I was like, oh, this sounds perfect. So you can kick off the holiday season with cocktails, hors d'oeuvres, gourmet fare, entertainment, and a holiday auction. The theme is a white Christmas attire inspired by the 1954 film, or you can wear modern evening wear, but either way, a formal dress is required. And a prize will be awarded for the most movie-inspired attire. And so it sounds like a great night. That's $100 a person, but I'm sure it's well worth it. It's a beautiful place, and they always have great food. It's always a good time.
That's not bad for an event like that.
Yeah.
I don't think that's bad at all. Well worth it.
Well worth it. And you get to get dressed up, which is always fun.
Always.
Saturday, November 13th and 14th is the Providence Home Show from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. at the Rhode Island Convention Center. So if you have anything you're planning to do with your home, inside or outside, it's definitely the place to go. And there'll be local Rhode Island home builders, there'll be kitchen remodelers, landscapers, landscape architects, and everything else in between. There'll be demos, there'll be exhibitors, people to answer questions, even give ballpark prices, and just discuss possibilities. So if you have anything on your mind, it's definitely a place to go. And again, that's the 13th and the 14th of November.
Awesome.
The Warren Walkabout Sunday strolls will take place Sundays until November 28th, so you have a few chances to get there. They'll just feature art, music, shopping, and food, so you can take the time to discover Warren and all that it has to offer. And there'll be, again, you know, live music on the streets. So those are the Warren Walkabouts every Sunday until the 28th. November 11th is the 10th anniversary party at Graysail Brewing in Westerly from 12 to 8 p.m. It's 10 years in the making. They were an empty warehouse in the beginning, and now they're one of Rhode Island's biggest breweries. Big Lux will be playing from 12 to 3 and No Exit from 3 to 6. and Farm to Sandwich will be there from 2 to 8, and they will also be honoring veterans that day with a partnership with Work for Vessels for Veterans. Wow. So active and retired military members will also receive a free beer and a discount. So support a great cause and also celebrate in, you know, one of Rhode Island's breweries' success. And last but not least, on November 13th is Bob Perlow's Tales from Hollywood. That's also in Westerly at the Granite Theater at 7:30. Local legend and author of will tell us about what it was like, about his decades in working on hit shows such as Friends, The Tonight Show, Cheers, and many more. So he'll be sharing some inside Hollywood secrets. So that should just be, you know, a really interesting show if that's strikes your fancy.
It's great. So that's just five of, I mean, hundreds and probably thousands of events over the year that happen here in Rhode Island. So you can check it all out at riblogger.com. Check it all out, riblogger.com. Don't forget to post your events as well for free. Jennifer, thank you so much for being here with us. Enjoy those holiday events.
Thank you. Have a great week.
You're welcome. You too. I would like to thank Jennifer Jaber with riblogger.com, Matt Bates with Movement Mortgage, Melissa Delano with Delano Law, Andrew in the studio at iHeartRadio, and you, our listeners, for keeping this show where it's at every single week. Appreciate you all very much. If I can be of any help to you, give me a call, 401-217-2333. And we will see you next week. Thank you so much. God bless you. This is the Despirito team, powered by Engel & Volkers Real Estate.